Get ready to rock, radio. Music you want to hear.
We're very proud and privileged to say hello to the man himself, Jeff Scott Soto.
How are you, sir?
Ah, nice to talk to you. And you've already mentioned to me that you're in a wintry Los Angeles, aren't you, at the moment, I think
it's
it?
Yes, I'm freezing out here in my shorts and my T-shirt. It's probably hitting around 18 degrees right now, so feel sorry for me, please. Well, I spent about the better part of 4 years in the UK, so I understand how cold it gets. I understand those winds don't make anything any better. So I actually don't mind the colder weather, though. It's quite ironic because if you've ever seen me on stage, I sweat quite a bit. I mean, I could be standing or singing a ballad, and I'm drenched from head to toe. So being a naturally hot person all the time, I quite enjoyed the weather of the UK. I can actually wear clothing there. Whereas living in Los Angeles, I'm cooped up indoors all day with the AC blasting, because if I step outside, I'll just be sweating all day.
Very good. Now, let's talk about the UK, because I think the last time you were here on tour was over the summer last year. We're talking actually now in January 2015. But in June 2014, you did play some dates. And I'm looking at a ticket stub here, Jeff, from a very small venue in the north of England called the Tivoli.
Yes, I do remember it well.
Now, that was a very small venue, very appreciative crowd. And I mean,
a small crowd and a small venue.
It was,
and yes, as you said, appreciative.
Yeah.
Last year was an excuse to take it on the road, because I was celebrating 30 years in the business, and I kind of wanted to do the cavalcade of my entire career in the course of one set. And usually when I'm out there promoting an album, I don't do as much of my past as I did last year in the course of one set list. And that was, I kind of wanted to get out of my system, and I knew there were a lot of people out there that wanted to hear and see certain songs that I haven't done in many years in one set. I mean, it's kind of difficult for me to go on tour with Yngwie Malmsteen, Axl Rudi Pell, Talisman all in the same night. So the best way to do that is to put them all in one set with my solo band, bringing them forth.
Yeah, and I think we'll come on to this, but it was a very good showcase for your current band as well, who feature on the brand new album. And
absolutely.
I think the impression I got was that you really enjoy each other's company, which is very, I mean, it's essential for a band, a successful band, but you're very entertaining, actually, and it was a really great evening. I don't know whether the venue's size was anything to do with it. I mean, it was quite intimate, wasn't it, really?
Absolutely. Well, the more intimate a stage, I mean, if you don't like each other, especially if somebody smells bad, it's just going to be a horrible situation for everybody involved. But
and that's just the audience, you know.
we kind of cut our teeth on those smaller stages, in the sense of the fact that we do like each other so much, and it actually feels a bit lonely when we're on the bigger stages, where we do some of the festivals. We're so spread apart. It's kind of strange to see somebody you normally almost having this shoulder to shoulder on stage all the way on the other side of the world, it seems like.
Yes.
When you're doing those big stages. But we actually really do enjoy each other's company. We're the best of friends, and we have the most pleasurable experiences together on tour. It was one of the reasons why when I was doing Soto as a band, I went to the guys in my current solo band and asked them if they wanted to be a part of it first before I ventured off and brought in a whole new team of people, because I get along so well with these guys, and they all get along so well with each other. We kind of have the same common interests, the same goals of what we're trying to come, you know, bring across there. And for them to be able to do that with me as a backup band, I wanted to be able to parlay that into now a band where we actually share in that together.
Yes. I mean, I should say also to listeners, and I don't want to spoil things for future gigs, really, but there was a sequence, interactive sequence with the audience, where you offered to play any song that was, or band's music that was on somebody's T-shirt.
Now, that actually occurred maybe two or three shows prior to that particular evening, and it was... You always try to find new and interesting ways to interact with the audience, and there's so many things that have already been done, and I've never seen a band do that, where you just, they're looking at somebody's T-shirt, and just off the cuff, you just try to emulate what that band is supposed to sound like. So it's kind of me keeping my guys on their toes as well, because they kind of know to expect the unexpected with me, and something like that is certainly unexpected, that they have to just pull a song out of their hats and everybody has to follow along and make it actually sound like something without a complete train wreck. So that was more my personal twisted sense of humor, of seeing if my band can actually follow everything that I'm throwing at them on the spur of the moment.
Now, just to follow on from that, I should mention, really, I can't really not mention it, but the guy who actually, I think he, there was a guy in the audience, he actually took his T-shirt off. He was quite an elderly guy, Jeff, wasn't he? And I think he was...
He was a paid prop, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You think that stuff really happens out there?
Well, the very weird thing was, he had this T-shirt on with Danger Danger on it, didn't he? Obviously from a festival or something, you know.
Well, you clearly remember better than I did. I didn't remember what shirt it was,
yeah.
Because I was just too traumatized with him having his shirt off in the first place.
And at that age, you know, it wasn't healthy. But really, I think what I'm really getting at, it was a fantastic show, and really, people, if they can,
I appreciate that.
We'll come on to talk about future plans for tours, but certainly people should get along and see you, whether it's a big or a small venue. This brings us, Jeff, to the brand new album released in early 2015, Inside the Vertigo. Now, would you say that this is an album that's accurately reflecting where you're at musically in 2015? It's certainly a little bit different from your previous album, Damage Control, and maybe
absolutely,
and previous albums in general.
Well, Damage Control was supposed to be closer to this direction. I wanted it to be a lot heavier, and it certainly was a lot heavier in many respects. But the label I was on, Frontiers, they kind of wanted to keep me within a melodic rock AOR kind of sound, and I understand that. That's the genre that the label specializes in. But one of the things that they were forgetting, or a lot of people were forgetting, is that my background does come from a much heavier genre. I do come from a heavy metal background, whether it be heavy metal or classic metal, whatever you want to call it. And I felt that was missing, especially in the past, say, 10 years of my career, of my life, because I've been more or less chasing things that I wanted to kind of do as a bucket list, or say, I've never done this, or I really want to get this done, or I want to get this out of my system type of thing. And I was missing that heavier side of things. And again, I started tapping into that with Damage Control, but I was kind of, the reins were kind of pulled back and said, no, you can't release too many heavy songs. It's got to be more along these lines. And for this next album, as it was coming together, it was all a lot heavier. And then on top of the fact that it didn't sound like a solo album anymore, it sounded like something that would be branded more easily and more accessibly as a band, which is two of the reasons why I needed a change from the label side of things, and also to brand it as a band, so it wouldn't be confused with my solo career or other things that I'd previously done.
Ah, that's interesting. Yes, there is a distinction, and I assume that you'll still be putting out albums in the future under your own name then, won't you?
Well, at the moment, I don't want to look into the future of what I might be doing aside of this. I mean, this is my commitment right now, and the only way to show people that I'm truly serious about this being a band, and this is something that I'm really behind, is to kind of put the other things on the back burner for a while. I mean, we discussed it with the band Wet just the same. It's time to concentrate on our individual projects and our individual lives right now, because it just gets too confusing. You flood the market with too many things, and people are wondering, well, what is the true passion of this person or these people? Is it just to keep throwing as many things as they can out there, and then everything starts sounding the same or starts sounding like each other? And at this point in my life, the only way for people to take this seriously is if I just put all those things aside and concentrate on just Soto right now.
Oh, well, that sounds good. And I think one of the album's great strengths, and there's various strengths, not least your own vocal and songwriting and everything, but one of the great strengths is that you do use your core band, I might call it, you know, your most recent band, and as well as collaborating with others, but really, you know, a fantastic band, as they were when we saw them live last year, Jeff.
I appreciate that, and it's, again, I'll keep elaborating on the fact, it's one of the reasons why I want to bring them forth as a big factor in my life and my career at the moment, because I can sit back and take all the credit of, you know, it's my name, it's my songs, it's my voice, etc. But these guys do have such a rich influence into where the direction of this album is going, especially my drummer Edu. He co-produced with me and kind of kept me on the direction of where we should make this album, as opposed to where it would have gone had I taken full control on my own. And I wanted and needed that. I didn't want it to sound too much like a classic rock album as it might have sounded had I taken the full control of it. Hence the reason why I had him kind of help me pull the reins here and there, or kind of steer me in the proper direction. He listens to a lot of new music, a lot of modern music, and I knew he would help me keep it from sounding too dated, and we could actually sound fresh and new, that we can contend with some of the other newer bands out there like Shinedown and Five Finger Death Punch and Alter Bridge and stuff like that. It's to me, it's more important for this band to be seen as a current band than just because it has a singer from a classic background.
I mean, we should say to listeners, if they like your music, if they've known previous albums, they'll like this, because it's obviously a different approach, but the melody is still there, the heavy rock. And I have to say, the funk, which I think you do very well, actually, that there's a funky strand in it as well. It's soulful. And I think that's very healthy as well, really.
Well, I didn't want to abandon who I am by any stretch. That's one of the things, one of the criticisms I'm already seeing out there is people saying I'm dabbling into something that's not me. I'm doing something, I'm just experimenting into something because I might be bored with the other things I've been doing, et cetera, et cetera. First of all, I'll be the first one to say I never do anything unless I feel I want to do it. I don't do it just for the sake of. This is 1,000% me, and everything that I've done is 1,000% me, is the reason I do it. That being said, I didn't want to stray too far away, even though the music was heavier and it had a lot more muscle than some of the stuff that I've done in the past decade. I wanted to still have that same sense of melodic. I wanted to have things that actually you could sing along to, but were melodious. It wasn't just Cookie Monster and just grunting along the way and just shouting the whole time. I wanted to have a sense of melody. I wanted to have a sense of lyrical meaning. I wanted to have all those elements of what people know me for already, even though it was done in a different way. And that's what I set forth in doing with this album. So it's not it doesn't stray too far away from what people are used to me doing, aside of the fact that I'm not singing up in the stratosphere on this album.
Now, bringing things right up to date then, your new album, Inside the Vertigo. What are your plans this year for the album, especially touring?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I want to put the band on the road only if there's interest to see the band Soto as an entity itself. I don't want to cross genres or mix. I don't want to be booked with the idea or intention of people expecting that I'm going to be doing half of this set list as a tribute to my career. It's the only way people will get it, will take it seriously as a band. And to be honest with you, unless it's done well enough that there is interest to do this, I think it's best not to put the band on the road until this time. Of course, I hope that it's accepted well enough that there is a demand and there's a chance to actually push this band beyond its own boundaries, beyond my solo career boundaries. I'm looking to surpass it in every way, and that's always the intention of any album, any release they're putting out there. You're hoping that it's going to take you to another level, but the next level does have to be grand enough that the interest lies purely on the band Soto and the brand itself.
Yes. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's almost like you need a second album with Soto, don't you? To just get the thing cemented and then tour on the back of that?
Yeah, I guess, but at least at this level, we would be able to take it to, say, festivals or maybe even a support slot, because supporting bands or festival sets are generally 35, 40, maybe 45 minutes at best. and even adding all the bonus material or maybe a Steel Dragon song here and there for good measure, we certainly do have a 45-minute set of material to be able to pull it off.
And once you throw in the T-shirt song, that should be all right, shouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, pad it out a bit.
The band's going to have to get their Spotify playlist opened up quite a bit there, get some more songs.
Get ready to rock. Radio.